Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 20th day of November 2020. And before I introduce my guest and our subject at hand, I just wanted to give my listeners an update on something that you may be wondering about. You may recall that on Monday I had requested prayer for a dear friend of mine that I've known for decades, Pastor Mynt Plugman. Mynt is actually short for Mindart. He is from Holland. But Mynt, on Sunday morning, was clearing leaves out of his gutter of the church building before worship service. He fell off the ladder and was in a coma. And on Wednesday, they took off the life support, and he is now in glory with Jesus Christ for eternity. He was a dear man. If any of you remember listening to the old Iron Sharpens Iron radio program when it was broadcasting out of Long Island, New York, on WNYG and WGBB radio, you may recall Mynt Plugman of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Bohemia being a guest on occasion, and sometimes a co-host. Very sweet, dear, humble, gracious, Christ-like man, and also a very, very wise, very brilliant man, truly suited for his calling as a minister of the gospel and as an under-shepherd of one of Christ's flock. So I just ask of you now to pray for the Plugman family as they grieve the loss of Mynt. And I'm sure that they are grieving deeply because he was such a precious man. But they know for certain where he is. They know for certain he would never trade places where he is. Even just to give them a hug for a second, he wouldn't do it. He is in the presence of Christ, and no one is going to ever for a second want to leave the presence of Christ when they are with him, no matter how much they may love those who remain here on earth. They may love us, those in heaven. They may love us deeply. They may even love us more now that they are in heaven. And they may be awaiting our arrival with great anticipation. But I can tell you they don't miss us. They don't miss being here. But anyway, I just thought I'd give you that update. It's a bittersweet update of a tragedy, a very sad tragedy. Mynt was only 65 years of age, but we know that the blessing from this is that he is in glory for eternity with the Savior that he loved, followed, and preached for many years. Well, today I have, for the first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, somebody that I've been very anxious to interview ever since I began speaking with him. I don't know if anxious is the right word. Eager is probably better. His name is Bishop Robert S. Bierman, And he is the presiding bishop of the Reformed Anglican Church, and he is founder of Ancient Word Radio. Today we're going to be discussing two topics: why social justice churches fear a virus more than God, and also rethinking our mission in an age of fear. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio, Bishop Robert S. Bierman.
Thank you. So good to be here today with you. And if I sound like a little bit nasal, we're here in the mountains of Georgia, and I think my allergies with all this strange weather have kicked up just a fraction, so kind of bear with me if you can.
Well, I had heard that the devil went down to Georgia looking for some votes to steal.
Yeah, he did. Not mine. We actually are Florida residents, so we voted in Florida, where for the first time, it was nice 20 years after the fact, not being embarrassed on television. At least we weren't the problem this time.
Yeah, well, praise God. Before we go into the subject at hand, or the subjects, plural, tell us about the Reformed Anglican Church.
Well, the best way to describe the Reformed Anglican Church, we are just a body of believers, conservative, Bible-believing believers. We are not social justice warriors or any of that. We are sacramental, yes, liturgical, yes, but evangelical to the core. So we kind of fit into two worlds, but I feel most comfortable. I'm one of those type that believe in solid preaching, which I think the church in many parts of the world has lost that art. They're more like little sermonettes or topics, or little lectures, or sometimes even pep talks. We need the gospel preached. We need the gospel taught. We need to teach children, raise children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we worship in a liturgical fashion, not so much that makes us better. It's our work. It's our giving unto God. You know, I'm one of those that don't believe you go to church just to make me feel good. You know, there's something we're giving in exchange to God for all the wonderful gifts he gives to us.
Amen. And as my dear friend now with Christ for eternity, the late Peter Jeffrey, who was from Port Talbot, Wales, or was, now his residence is in heaven, but he was a Welsh preacher and author, and as the title of his book, one of his many books actually suggests, Christians need the gospel too. So what you were just saying about the need for solidly biblical preaching just rung so true with me, because the gospel is not just something that we declare to the lost. Christians need to be reminded over and over and over again from what we were rescued, how we were rescued, and especially who rescued us. And the fact of the matter is that in every church, there no doubt exists someone, and perhaps in the larger churches, many, many people who think that they're Christians and they're not. So we have to be careful not to think that everybody in a church building is going to be an heir of eternal life just because they're in a church building and maybe even a member of the church, so, and may even be an office bearer in the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, tell us about Ancient Word Radio.
A few years ago, it dawned on me, there's a lot of online radio out there these days, and when you try to find Christian radio, the majority that I would find is basically contemporary Christian music and I'd hope not to offend anybody by saying this, what I call mass-marketed music. It's something I started noticing a trend when I was working within Christian radio back in the 1980s and into the early 1990s, that it seemed that the world of Christian music had changed. We were finding many of the labels that were famous in the Christian world were being bought up by secular entities, and it's gotten even worse today. And I realized there's a market out there, for lack of a better term, for some of the more traditional hymns of the faith and sacred music that, you know, has kind of gone out of fashion. And so I put together this online radio station to feature nothing but that kind of sacred music. I'm looking at adding a couple of other music streams that may be a little bit different, but still Christ-centered music. And so far, it's a gradually growing service, and it's free. There's no paywall. You don't have to give me your email address or anything. You're just welcome to go to the site and hit the Listen Now button, and you can enjoy. I've got some people around the world that listen hours every day, and I'm glad it means something to them, and I've gotten a few nice responses back. And it can be found at ancientwordradio.com. That's ancientwordradio.com. And like I say, it's free. We don't ask for anything. You know, you don't need to do anything. If you want to help support it, fine, but it's there as my gift to you.
And, of course, we can't forget the website for the Reformed Anglican Church, reformedanglican.church.
Mm-hmm.
That's reformedanglican.church. And
if you're lazy, you can abbreviate it racus.org. That'll work, too. So, I mean,
that's actually harder to remember, though. That's harder to remember.
Yep.
But this is a confessionally reformed, biblically faithful, conservative, traditional Anglican church adhering to the 39 Articles of Religion, mm-hmm. which is a very faithful summary of biblical teaching.
And it's amazing how many Anglicans don't want to subscribe to those anymore.
Yeah, I actually had years ago, believe it or not, a Reformed Episcopal priest
mm-hmm.
who was really an Anglo-Catholic, which is amazing that the Reformed Episcopal Church, which began as a reaction against Anglo-Catholicism, against the Oxford
exactly.
movement, but they allow Anglo-Catholics into their priesthood. I don't particularly like that term myself, being a Reformed Baptist, but they allow them into the priesthood, and this man was very nasty to me over the phone because I was looking for a biblically sound Anglican church for my uncle, who is no longer with us, but my uncle was raised Episcopalian, as was everyone on my father's side of the family. I was raised Catholic because my mother was Catholic, but my uncle was contemplating converting to Catholicism because he despised the leftist apostasy going on in the Episcopal Church. And instead of looking for a solidly Protestant and biblical Anglican church, he eventually did convert to Rome, and this Reformed Episcopal priest called me a moron for being concerned about that. So,
well, you know, it's...
Oh, and he called the 39 Articles an embarrassing, dusty relic of the past, and he says, I'm glad that most Anglicans ignore them completely. I couldn't believe my ears. Sorry about that.
It doesn't surprise me, because I remember a time, and I'll kind of give you my little background of my faith journey and how I ended up in ministry. I was raised a Missouri Synod Lutheran. You know, we're the only ones going to heaven, Lutherans. You know? If you never, you know, we had that cornered. I went to a Lutheran school in Hicksville, Long Island, which I'm sure you know where that is.
Oh yeah, I've spent many times at the Hicksville train station.
And the school and church, you could see it from I watched the new train station be built, from being a ground level with a two-lane road to that raised platform you see today. And so I know that Hicksville station quite well. It was a great church to go to. It was a great school to go to growing up from kindergarten through the eighth grade. And there's where I learned to appreciate God's Word. It was just poured into my heart. And we memorized God's Word. I was actively involved with choirs all those years. And so it made an indelible imprint on my life. It changed me completely. And so Trinity Lutheran Church in school is probably the beginning of my journey to ministry, though I never knew it at the time, because it was laid into my heart. Well, my dad finally got tired of all the traffic and nonsense of living in Long Island and having to go toward the city or across the city or to upstate New York and, you know, being in the car on the world's longest parking lot called the Long Island Expressway. You know, you finally break one day. You've had enough. And so he packed us all up, and we moved to a small town about 35 miles east of Rochester, New York. And that's where I went to high school, and a small Lutheran church. What a difference going from a massive church and school to a little country church. But it was still a good place to be. And that's where I got my start in radio, which is what I did for a good chunk of my life. But you're talking about the Reformed Episcopal Church. When I got into the Anglican movement, where I first started, it wasn't so Anglo-Catholic as you described it, where they're, and really that's more like Anglo-Papist is the best way that I describe it. They're trying to be the Roman Catholic Church of 1949 in English. That's essentially what they're trying to be. And I never felt comfortable with some of the, what I call Roman Catholic dogma that they're still hanging on to. And I thought I had ended up at one point in my ministry career with at least what I considered a broad church. In other words, they allowed low churchmanship, evangelicals were welcome, and they were even at the time looking at a merger with the Reformed Episcopal Church. Now, we discovered within that group and ours, there were a lot of Anglo-Catholics on both sides. They seemed to have all gotten together and left us evangelicals kind of out in the cold. And that's how I ended up, over time, where I am today in the Reformed Anglican Church, because of my rejection of Anglo-Catholicism.
By the way, I wanted to make it clear, I didn't want to broad brush the Reformed Episcopal Church, because there are many fine Christian men in the ministry and in membership in that denomination. I didn't want to give you the wrong idea, folks.
No.
And they just have to be judged as individual congregations if you're looking for one, because I happen to be a former Roman Catholic, as I just mentioned before, and it's very important to me that Roman Catholics, out of love for them, know that they, if they are believing in the gospel of Rome as defined dogmatically at Trent, they have a false gospel and they have no hope of salvation. So they need to repent of that, and it's a very important issue with me. But since first-time guests always give their salvation testimony on the show before they go on with the main topic that we are intending to discuss, tell us more about, as you know, there's one gospel, but there are many stories on how God penetrates the stony, cold, lifeless, dead, wicked hearts of men with the gospel, and the stories are very diverse. Some are raised in Christian homes from infancy, and they don't remember ever a day or a period in their lives when they did not love Christ and seek to follow him, and others, like myself, have more of a stark contrast in their lives of darkness to light, living as rebels, and even in a scandalous way, and then being arrested by the Holy Spirit and having our hearts removed and replaced with hearts of flesh, where it is just a radical transformation going on. So tell us about your own story in that regard, being raised in a Lutheran home, and I have interviewed quite a number of Missouri Synod Lutherans, actually, and other Christians in faithful Lutheran denominations, but their stories are varied too, because not everybody in their congregations, or even in the pastorate, not everybody is raised in a God-fearing home. And I was raised in a God-fearing home. My mother was a very godly woman, but I had a false gospel being raised Catholic. So tell us something more about that, as far as your recognizing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and so on.
This happened during the time that I was in high school, and I remember it well. I had actually broken my arm, and it wasn't that bad. It was going to be in a sling for about, 4 or 5 weeks, but a little painful that first night. And my little bedside radio, my first AM/FM radio, by the way, and I used to listen to primarily, stations out of Chicago or out of New York City, listening to Top 40, which is what we did back in, 1970, 1969. in that time frame. And I put it on FM, and I was kind of going across the dial. It was a Friday night, and so I didn't have to worry about getting up the next morning early. And I stumbled across this FM Christian radio station. I never heard anything like it before in my life, anywhere. And I just was gravitated toward it over time and listened. And it made me very much self-aware of what is my true relationship with Jesus Christ. Where do I really stand? And what do I really believe? Am I believing everything that I was taught since childhood? Am I going through the motions? Or am I really one of the redeemed? And I finally came to that realization, after several weeks of listening, that I needed to make that profession and make sure that I'm clear about it. And even starting at that point in high school, it started a journey over a number of years where I actually did a little bit of church shopping. Unfortunately, a lot of us do that. But it also gave me a discernment I never had before when I would be in a church and you suddenly recognize what you just said is so true. There are a lot of people that are in those pews, a lot of people that give big checks sometimes as well and, may have donated a window or an organ or books or libraries, you name it, but they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they really don't intend to. They look at church as an opportunity for socialization, for business, to look good, and get some fire insurance. And I started recognizing that, not so much judging, but what Jesus says, you know them by their fruits. And it became very apparent to me at a young age. Now, did I fully live that life as I started out in my working life? Kind of, yes and no. I got a job in radio, and the problem was I ended up in Top 40 radio, and for about 3 years I realized, the best way to put it is, I'm compromised. In other words, I believe something, but am I really living that? And that was an issue. And I finally decided it's time to get off the radio, because I can't be duplicitous, if that makes any sense. I can't claim to be living for Christ where my job and the way I'm acting is not living for Christ. And so I ended up in the engineering side for many, many years. And from there, it got me a job with a Bible college in Northeast Georgia, where my late wife was from. She was from a little town called Toccoa, Georgia. I met her when I first had moved south and took a job at a local radio station. And it was hard to believe that less, 10 years after we met, we're back in Toccoa after I had enjoyed my disc jockey career. And it was a very wonderful feeling of being at home, working in Christian radio, and being able to build radio stations for Christ's kingdom. I mean, it was a totally different world. But, when you know Christ and you're working in a job where you don't fit, where you don't belong, you try to pretend that it's all good. But deep inside, there's that little voice, which never would have been there had I not had that encounter at a younger age, that you don't belong here. You are in this world, but you're not of this world. And that is a hard thing for some Christians to even fully understand.
Now, what was it about Anglicanism that caught your attention and, to use a Calvinist phrase, irresistibly drew you into Anglicanism?
I'll tell you what happened over the years. In my younger years, I did a little bit of, shopping around. I checked out various type of churches, everything from Baptist to Charismatic to Word of Faith, trying to find the church I belonged in. And ultimately, about the time we got back to Toccoa, Georgia, I ended up back in a Missouri Synod church, which at that time, in that little town, was still very evangelical, Bible-believing, and you felt the peace of God in that place. So I ended up being back in my Lutheran environment, and that lasted about 4 years or 5 years when something profound happened. I was doing a job for the college, and I had to go out to St. Louis, Missouri. And I'd always wanted to visit the seminary out there, and I knew the Lutheran Church also owned a radio station, I think it's the oldest Christian radio station in the United States, KFUO, in St. Louis on 850. And I wanted to see it. So knowing I was going to be out there for 1 or 2 days, I decided, I called the seminary, and I knew that you could actually, you know, get a room for the night at the seminary. And I thought I would do that so I could visit the radio station, the chapel, and all that goes with, you know, being out there in St. Louis. And so I went out there. It was actually to buy a transmitter for a radio station we were putting on in Georgia. And I went out to look at it, to inspect it. Everything was fine. And while I was visiting the campus at the radio station, I let people know where I worked from. And I got a call after I got back to Georgia from their director of development saying, "Hey, I'm sorry I wasn't there when you came by, and you seem to be in engineering, and you guys are building a satellite network out of Little Toccoa, Georgia." And I said, "Yeah." He said, "We're trying to do something similar. Would you like to be a consultant?" I said, "Well, I guess," and I hadn't thought about it. And for the next 2 years, I was a paid consultant to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Board for Communication Services. But it was at the end of that time that I just felt I didn't belong there. There was, because, you know, my church is changing. I love the, how do I put it, the more historic liturgy. Some of the new stuff that is often done, I don't feel comfortable with, because there's a little bit more me-ism in some of that than I feel comfortable doing. I mean, this is my giving worship and praise unto God, not trying to get something to make me feel better today. And that's where I have a lot of issues with some contemporary Christian music. It's all man-centered, not Christ-centered. And I just didn't know what to do. I didn't want to leave my church. And one day in our little local paper, I saw an ad for this Anglican mission. I never even heard the term Anglican at the time. I kind of knew what it meant, you know, Church of England or something like that. I knew what an Episcopalian was, you know, from my younger years. And I kept reading this little ad. It showed up every week in the, you know, church section. You're meeting at a little hotel meeting room every Sunday. And I kept telling myself, I'm going to go there one day. I got to go visit it. I got to sneak out and just go there. And the first Sunday in Advent in, I think, 1993, it was really strange day. My wife wasn't up to going. She wasn't feeling well. And so as I got in the car to go to church, suddenly I just decided, instead of making the right turn, I made a left turn, and I went to that church that Sunday. And the liturgy moved me. The message was incredible. And I never went back to the Lutheran church again. The next time I was back in that same building was about a year ago. I mean, 20-some-odd years have gone by, 25, 26 years, something like that. I just felt at home. And now, I never intended for the ministry. That's a whole other story that comes up.
Well, let me come back from our first break, if you want to share at least a summarized version of getting into the ministry before we enter into our main theme. Mm-hmm. I'd be more than happy to hear that. If anybody would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you disagree with your own pastor over some theological issue we are discussing, or you're a pastor, you disagree with your own fellow elders, you disagree with your denomination, or maybe it's a pastoral question that you have to ask Bishop Bierman. That's a very intimately personal question, and you don't want to call attention to your identity. We understand that. But if it's just a general question on theology and social issues and so on, please give us at least your first name, your city and state, and your country of residence. It's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We'll be right back with Bishop Bierman after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper. president and professor of systematic and homiletical theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to ptlbiblerebinding.com. That's ptlbiblerebinding.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please. please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnes, and if you just tuned into Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, our guest today for the full program is Bishop Robert S. Bierman of the Reformed Anglican Church denomination, and he is also the founder of Ancient Word Radio. And today, but when we finish getting some of his testimony finished, we are going to be addressing why social justice churches fear a virus more than God, and we'll also be addressing rethinking our mission in an age of fear. And our email address is chrisarnsen@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and you were about to enter into how you believed the Lord was giving you the call into the gospel ministry.
Well, it was kind of a strange thing. As I said, I started attending this little church in Georgia, and I didn't know what was going to happen, but I'll go back to a younger time. My grandparents had always thought and prayed that I would end up in ministry. And this is when I was just a young child. They really felt there was a call in my life. And even as I went into my teens, I can remember talking to, I still remember his name, Pastor Walter Kovac, in the little town in upstate New York, and I shared that with him. And he said, you know, he goes, Robert, that was what he called me. I go by Bob to everybody else these days because my radio work. But he said, you know, you'll know when the time is right. He said, you may be going right from high school to prep college to seminary, and, you know, you'll know. But if not, in God's time, just always understand God has his own time and never force God's time on, you know, him to change that timeline. He's not. And I remember that, and I ended up getting, like I say, into radio and enjoyed being on the air. I did about everything you could think of, and then engineering, even built equipment for a major manufacturer. And then I'm now at this Bible college. And it was during the time after I had made the change to this small little Anglican mission, very conservative, and I'm just feeling very at home. The liturgy is so close to what I knew as a child. The hymns, just, you know, things like the church is one foundation, hymns like that that have some substance, meant a lot to me. And I was asked to be what they call a lay reader. That's just a guy that, you know, helps read and do little things and in the church, and I ended up doing that, became a member, and went through the whole process. Then one day a guy said, you ought to consider becoming a deacon. And I'm thinking, okay, I can do that. I love my job here at the college, and, you know, I can, you know, do more for the Lord that way as well. So I started that process of study, and then by the time we got to January of 1996, I was ordained as a deacon in that church, or in, you know, that church body. And time went on, and I started actually assisting a few mission churches in North Carolina and in the region, maybe like somewhere like 3 or 4 hours away, but I started helping on Sundays. And somebody said, you ought to consider being, we use the term priest, but understand that from the Bible to be presbyter. That's just a contraction. You know, we're not some kind of, I'm not re-sacrificing anything. I prefer to consider myself a presbyter when I was in that role than a priest. I'm a pastor or a presbyter, and that's the best way to describe it. And I was encouraged to go back to school. Now, I was at the college, a Bible college, and the college president said, take advantage of any resource you need here, class or otherwise, to accomplish that goal. And so I did over the next couple of years. And when I got done and I passed all the exams, I was slated for ordination in July of 1997. The ordination was supposed to take place down in Georgia, but it didn't happen. The person that was going to do it became ill, and he said, well, you know, would you like to go out of town to get it done? I said, you know, we have a bishop up near Baltimore, Maryland, don't we? And he said, yes. My grandparents, who are now in their 90s, who have been waiting a long time for me to get to ministry, were able to be there for my ordination. So that meant the world to me, that they, at age 96 and 95, they finally saw it, you know, come to pass.
Praise God. Now let's start to get into the subject at hand that you have chosen. Mm-hmm. For our program today. First, you wanted to address why social justice churches fear a virus more than God. And I know that I have done a number of interviews on this theme. In fact, I'd like to highlight for our listeners, if they'd like to look this up later on for future listening, but I not so long ago interviewed John Harris, the author of a new book called Social Justice Goes to Church. And if you type in his name in the search engine, of the archive at ironsharpensironradio.com, where it says podcasts, past shows. If you type in J-O-N Harris, that interview will come up. But if you could, for the sake of those listeners that may still be uncertain about what exactly that means, it almost, in fact, it does sound like a very good thing. It sounds like, hey, I got to get on board with this social justice. Tell us exactly, at least in summary form, what is social justice before we go into why the churches that claim to champion that fear a virus more than God.
Well, the whole idea of social justice, you're right. On paper, it all sounds good. We want to have justice. I mean, but the thing is, the enemy of our souls co-opts words and expressions to deceive us. And social justice is not really social justice at all. It's social reorganization. It's social change. It's submitting to a different authority than the authority of God. Social justice at its core in my depths of my being, it's extremely humanistic. And that's a beginning of a bad thing. And from my perspective, when you become humanistic, you're at war with God. And all social justice generally demands is, you know, they love to use certain Christian phraseology, like Jesus, you know, love one another. And they use the love word all the time. They talk about love. Love conquers all. Love is this. And social justice means love. Yet the Bible, the word love doesn't appear in the Bible near as much as the words fear not.
In fact, it doesn't appear at all in the book of Acts.
The word fear is more prevalent.
Yeah, in the book of Acts, it's not even mentioned, the word love.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's this false sense of religiosity in a social justice environment in church. I mean, it's all about doing good works to other people. Well, you know, and I know, good works are the fruit of our obedience to Christ, but it's not how we save ourselves. It's not how we change ourselves. They're just the evidence of what change Christ has already done. And we're putting the cart before the horse. We're going to do good works to make ourselves better people and a better world. Well, on the surface, it all sounds good. But what's the end game? What are you trying to accomplish in social justice? And the theology you find in those churches, they have taken the gospel of Jesus Christ, torn it apart, ripped out what they don't like, they've reinvented it, and in essence, what we have today in too many church bodies is what I call the all dogs go to heaven religion. And I think you know what I mean when I say that. If you just live a good life, everything will be fine, and everybody goes to a better place.
Is that why many Episcopal churches have the blessing of the animals?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's not so much that. It's just that this whole concept of, you know, just if you live a social justice, good life, and have nothing but love and happiness in your heart, when your time comes and you die, then you'll just go to that wonderful place that's been prepared for all the good people. And that's a heresy from hell. I mean, let's be honest about it. That is a damnable doctrine. And yet it's being proclaimed in too many churches today, and people are swallowing it, and they're swallowing it to their own, you know, own destruction.
In fact, when you were talking about using or borrowing or stealing or misusing biblical phraseology, Christian phraseology, I was shocked and disgusted. I don't know why I was so shocked, but at the funeral of the very, very liberal Congressman John Lewis, who tragically has been deified in the media, his pastor at his funeral service referred to the fact that by his stripes we are healed, and he was not talking about Jesus Christ. He was talking about John Lewis. So,
I know,
quite blasphemous.
And that's what we're seeing in a lot of what I call this. Too many of the old mainline churches have gradually compromised the gift they were given in the Word of God, in the Gospel, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and they've traded it in for another gospel, which is not a gospel. It's an anathema, according to St. Paul. And, you know, I meet these people. They're all about, you know, we can have same-sex weddings in our church. Why not? It's all about love. Everything is disguised in this one word, love, that's been misused and abused. And so they don't teach repentance anymore because, you know, we sin is not even mentioned. The only thing that's a sin is not being socially aware. Outside of that, there is no sin.
Well, they want everybody who is born white to repent of our innate inborn racism that they claim every white person is guilty of, whether they recognize it or not.
That's pretty new in the lexicon. You know, that's the latest thing that's come out. But, you know, it changes on a dime, and it follows the social mandates of people as they try to justify their sin, and they try to make the world not only tolerate it, not only accept it, but they now demand that you embrace it. This is what the social justice church is all about, and this is a false religion.
Yes.
And that's why, and I think somewhere deep inside, there's a sense that you know that, and while you have this hope for the great by and by, and you hope that you get to that good place, that's why you're so afraid of losing this life. This life becomes all important because you don't really understand any life beyond this life.
In fact, we're going to have you pick up right where you left off because we have to go to our midway break right now.
Okay.
And it was a good place to cut in there because I don't want to interrupt too much in the middle of a thought. But you let's not forget that you were talking about why people who have a false gospel have an extra tenacity when clinging to this life in this world because they really believe that the gospel is primarily about this life in this world, not the world after. But not that it, obviously we as Christians believe the gospel applies to this world as well, but that is their primary hope and their primary message when they so-called preach. But we have to go to our middle break right now, folks, and if you could be patient with us, because it is the longer than normal break that we have in the middle of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, they are required by the FCC to localize this program and all of their programming to Lake City, Florida. So in order to do so, they air their own public service announcements and other local announcements for Lake City, Florida during the middle of our show. And while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials that are more broadly applicable to everywhere. So I ask of you to please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize our advertisers, which will subsequently mean, God willing, that we will remain on the air for a longer future because we absolutely positively depend on the finances that come from our advertisers to exist as a program. We could not remain on the air without our advertisers. So instead of being upset by the number of ads, please rejoice in these dear folks that advertise on the show, knowing that they are keeping us on the air, if indeed you love the show. So even when you can't patronize them in regard to like purchasing a product or using a service or visiting a church, please at least reach out to these advertisers and thank them for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That will go a long way. But in addition, send in your questions for Bishop Robert S. Bierman on why social justice churches fear a virus more than God. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnes and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333, or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of the ReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Thrivent Financial is not your typical financial services provider. As a membership organization, we help Christians be wise with money and live generously every day. And for the fourth year in a row, we were named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute, a leading international think tank dedicated to the creation, advancement, and sharing of best practices in business ethics. Contact me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433 to learn more about the Thrivent Difference.
Faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Thank you.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And my Anglican listeners today will be especially delighted to know that solid-ground-books.com carries, in addition to books by other denominational representatives spanning the world of Reformed theology, that is, we have Anglicans represented in the catalog of solid-ground-books.com. And let me highlight some of them. As the announcer in that ad said, that they have treasures from the past and the present. Well, let me start with a treasure from the present about a treasure from the past. Thomas Garrett Isham, he is a living author. He is a biblically faithful Episcopalian, and he has written a biography of Augustus Toplady. And the title of this is Rock of Ages, Augustus Toplady, the little-known man behind the well-known hymn. And that is available through Solid Ground Christian Books, who has published this book by Tom Isham. Another book by Thomas Garrett Isham is A Born-Again Episcopalian, The Evangelical Witness of Charles Pettit McIlvaine. Another contemporary work by a brother in Christ now in heaven. A contemporary work about a brother in Christ now in heaven, meaning Bishop Charles Pettit McIlvaine. And as far as a treasure from the past is concerned, if you don't know him already, you've got to get to know Stephen H. Ting, and that's S-T-E-P-H-E-N. His last name is spelled T as in Thomas, Y-N-G. He was the rector of the historic St. George Episcopal Church in Manhattan, which still exists and is still a biblically faithful church, a church that adheres to the 39 Articles. It hasn't always been a church that remained faithful throughout its history. There was a period when it became apostate, unfortunately, but it has been brought back to its biblical roots and its Reformation roots and the roots of its founding rector, Stephen H. Ting. Well, this 19th century hero of the faith, Stephen H. Ting, has written books that Solid Ground Christian Books has brought back into print. Two of them are The Christian Pastor, The Office and Duty of the Gospel Minister. This is an excellent book that I strongly urge you buy a case of to give to all of your minister friends and loved ones, or colleagues if you're a minister yourself. I have given this book out at some of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheons that I have hosted, and I have always heard glowing reports back about this book, The Christian Pastor, The Office and Duty of the Gospel Minister. Another book by Stephen H. Ting, which is a larger book, not as inexpensive as the other, but still worth every penny, Lectures on the Law and Gospel, also by Stephen H. Ting. So if you go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, you could, for the first books I mentioned, if you type in the search engine Isham, I-S-H-A-M, I-S-H-A-M as in Michael, you will see a list of the books written by Thomas Garrett Isham. And if you want to find out more about Stephen H. Ting's book, type in T as in Thomas, Y-N-G. T as in Thomas, Y-N as in Nancy, G. And you'll get those books listed as well. And remember, folks, that solid-ground-books.com is a valuable sponsor of this program. We would likely not exist without their financial support. So please make frequent visits and purchase generously from solid-ground-books.com. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, let me give you an announcement. Mark your calendars. I mean, we are airing a program every day on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, with the exception of Thanksgiving. We'll still be airing a program, but it'll be a rerun. But we're airing a live program every other day next week, and they're all worthy of listening to. But I just wanted to highlight one for the day after Thanksgiving. I am going to have a returning guest who's one of my dearest friends, and the second hour, a first-time guest. The first hour on Friday, day after Thanksgiving, is my dear friend of many years, Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. If you don't know anything about Dr. White, you need to discover and learn more about him. He is a treasure, a gift to the body of Christ, a brilliant apologist, a Hebrew and Greek scholar, and just a really phenomenal debater and apologist. Well, he will be on for the first hour on the day after Thanksgiving, and then the second hour. And he may even stick around for a bit with my second guest that day. But for the very first time, I am having John L. Cooper as my guest. John L. Cooper is the founder and lead singer and guitarist for a group known as Skillet, a rock group, actually. But John is a committed Christian, and he's theologically reformed, and he has written a new book titled Awake and Alive to Truth. And so John will be discussing that book in the second hour, so just mark your calendar for that. Finally, folks, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, I'm begging you, please, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on your screen as well, where you can mail a check made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with me, but you need to be promoting something at the very least compatible with what I believe. And I would love to help you launch an ad campaign because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars. So if you'd like to advertise, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a biblically faithful local church and you need to find one, and if you are in the category of not being a member of a biblically faithful local church, you do need to find one, because there are no such things in the scriptures as a Christian who is obedient and faithful to Christ who is not a member of a local biblically faithful church under the oversight of biblically ordained elders. So if you are in that position, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you, because I have lists, very extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth. And I've helped many people in our audience find churches all over the globe that they have visited and joined. Sometimes they visit these churches when they're on vacation, and sometimes they refer these churches to loved ones who are not members of solid churches. So if you are in any of those categories, or in any category where you need a church, I may be able to help you find one, and who knows, it might even be right around the corner from your house, as has been the case with a number of people who have reached out to me looking for a church. They didn't even know these churches existed, and I've helped them find them. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Bishop Robert S. Bierman. and he is the presiding bishop of the Reformed Anglican Church denomination. He's also the founder of Ancient Word Radio, and we are discussing why social justice churches fear a virus more than God. And our email address, if you'd like to join us, is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Bishop Bierman, can you pick up where you left off, please, before the break?
Well, let's see. We're back, I guess, so that's good. Just trying to define the idea of social justice warriors and the social justice gospel. It seems to be a disease, and that's the best way to describe it, that has infected a lot of once sound Christian institutions. It's like a poison that gets in, and over time it just destroys what's inside. I can remember church bodies that I knew, let's say in my 20s or early 30s, that they were respectful, they still believed, and then you come back 30 years later, and they have changed everything in what they believe. It is all about celebrating sin, gender, gender identity, save the world, global warming, whatever the cause du jour of the day is. We're too busy, as St. Paul says, we're too busy worshiping the creation and those people in it, and they do the Creator, and that becomes their emphasis. And that's why, as you and I were talking before the break, they've come to a point in these churches that I think they give lip service to God, because, you know, God's that love entity thing, and there's too much of that in those worlds today. I could call out churches, you know them, I know them, once great churches that have now fallen, as far as I'm concerned. And they're taking, the only good news about the virus is a lot of those churches still remain closed because they're so afraid of the virus. I mean, there is a silver lining to the virus. You know, a lot of those social justice churches, their doors are locked tight. They're afraid to get together for killing each other.
In fact, I don't know if you heard my interview with Gary DeMar of American Vision recently, but I was saying that one of the very few things that I've been agreeing with the leftists over is the shutting down of the public schools.
Oh, yeah. I have no problem with that either. The public indoctrination centers that we have today. I look at kids today, and they come out of high school, and I think of what I had learned by the time I hit the eighth grade. And many of these high school graduates cannot answer basic history questions, basic math questions, even, you know, just things in our recent history, that they're clueless. They work on feelings and what's good for today. And so do so many churches. And that's why there's a fear of a virus over the fear of God. Now, one, you know who I'm talking about, John MacArthur out there in California at Grace Community Church.
One of my great heroes of the modern era.
I've got a friend of mine on Facebook who is an attorney and former journalist, and she kind of keeps me informed because that's where she goes to church. And I asked her a while back, and I saw this on the news the other night. I thought it was fascinating. The LA Times was thrilled they could run a story about an outbreak of the coronavirus at you know, California mega church spreads, you know, and it sounds really ominous to hear that headline. And then you find out, and as Dr. MacArthur pointed out, it involved a total of three people. Now, that's a church of 7,000 people worshiping since July. Get that number straight. Seven, like in thousand. And the three that tested positive happened to be part-time paid security guards who got their infection from somewhere else. It still hasn't run through that church, and nobody's died. What does that tell you?
Yeah, tells you a lot. One of the things I wanted to ask you, I don't know if you heard my interview, and I can't wait to get him back on the program, but Bishop Peter D. Robinson of the United Episcopal Church, which is...
one of my good friends.
Well, he's a great guy. He laid at the root of this problem of apostasy in once biblically faithful churches, the blame in the abandonment of creeds and confessions. And
absolutely.
And there are many churches in modern evangelicalism who misunderstand what we mean by a creed and confession. They think that means that we are governing our beliefs and our activities by a man-written code of some kind. Now, obviously, all creeds and confessions are written by mortal men, but a biblically faithful confession is merely a summary of exegeted scriptures that are the primary scriptures, or the primary teachings of scripture, I should say, that we need to know about salvation, about God himself, about how the church is governed, and how the church obeys Christ in the administration of the ordinances and so on. So it's really just a summary of biblical teaching, and when the church abandons these confessions that the denomination of which they once belonged adhered to, you have people more prone to lapsing into all kinds of heresy. Now, obviously, even confessional churches that are confessional in name only, they have it on the books for some historic reason that they belong, that they adhere to a confession of some kind. There are heretical and apostate churches that may even say on their website they have this as a confession or so on, but they're not really adhering to that confession, and it could be easily discovered that they're not. This is a way that, in fact, it is a slap in the face or a refutation of the false accusation by the Church of Rome that sola scriptura, that the scripture alone is our sole, final, infallible authority over the church, the one of the pillars of the Protestant Reformation, that in adhering to sola scriptura, somehow we make the scriptures into a wax nose to be twisted around any way we want. And that's not the case at all if you are accurately understanding sola scriptura and if you are historically confessional. And I'll let you pick up where I left off there.
Well, you're right about that. And by the way, Bishop Robinson and I are good friends. Matter of fact, I saw him back in October. I was up in his town of Waynesboro, Virginia, because their church body have their convocation where they get together, and I came as a guest and enjoyed the fellowship and the time, and so he and I get along quite well. He's a real true man of God, and he's very knowledgeable, more so than most people I've met in a long time, so it's refreshing to spend some time with people of that caliber. But you're right. These basic creeds that I memorized as a child, they are just a distilled essence of what we believe. You know, we believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. I mean, I can do this from memory, but I firmly believe it. Without it, if I try to change it, what do I have? I have nothing. You know, one of the things that is important in the creeds, it reminds us of something that many people in many of the social justice churches now reject, the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you now have many of these pastors in some of those churches, they no longer believe in the resurrection. They don't even believe in the virgin birth. They believe in none of it. Jesus was just a man. What do they have? As St. Paul said, they have nothing. They are the most miserable of all men.
Amen. Let me go to a couple of listeners that have written in from our audience today. We have an anonymous listener, and this anonymous listener says, some of those that I count most dear in my life as precious friends happen to be black folks, and I fear that some of them are being sucked in to this woke movement that involves social justice. I have to confess, I am terrified to approach them on this out of fear that they are going to view me as a racist, and I was wondering what kind of counsel you could give me. That's an excellent question, and I bet you it's a very common thing that is occurring. First of all, we have to fear God more than men, and we have to be truthful with those we love, perhaps even more than even strangers, Not that we should ever be untruthful, but we have to be more diligent with the truth. And doesn't the scriptures and God himself and the Holy Spirit compel us to be truthful with our friends, even when it means we may lose them as our friends, when it comes to something very vitally important?
Stop and think about this. The entire social justice movement is built on a couple of false premises. Number one, as in anything, understand the origin. These are satanic in origin, and I'll explain why. Just as a certain kind of communism is satanic in origin, it wants to enslave people with promises of equal this, equal that, equal outcomes. That's been the promise since the Soviet Union came and collapsed. China, their people are literally slaves because they're underpaid, and they dare not go against the government. North Korea, Venezuela, look at them all. They have to control their people. And we're looking at a time right now, as I've been sharing with the audience of the radio show I do, we have people talking about a global reset, all based on social justice, all based on equal outcomes. Now, one of the greatest tools of Satan is to twist words. Would you not agree with that? I mean, to take terms that sound harmless, that sound good, and they're destructive. I use the one Black Lives Matters. Okay, yes, they do. How can you deny that? But the movement itself, when you go to their website, is anything but that. So if you disagree, you're immediately branded as some kind of, you know, racist or white privilege or some such whatever. The terminology can be used against you, because they never will go and be honest about what they truly believe in, what they're truly fighting for, what they're truly trying to get, has nothing to do with the 13 unarmed black people that were shot in 2019, many of which were actually trying to physically take down an officer. They make it sound like, you know, they're doing it every night. Hundreds, if not thousands a week, are dying in the streets at the hands of police to watch them on the, you know, in their riots and their protests and burning down the buildings. So the problem is, you're right. They have fallen into this trap of social justice and equating it with Jesus and this kind of man-made Jesus that's all about love and equality. And there's nowhere.
And of course, it's their interpretation of love. It's not genuine love.
It has nothing to do with scriptural love, exactly. And sacrifice. And we're not guaranteed. The Bible does not guarantee in this life equal outcomes. Period. Never has, never will. It doesn't promise a easy life for everybody. In fact, if anything, the Christians are promised it may be a very difficult life, an uneasy life, a life where family members will disown you and people will think that killing you is doing, quote, God's service, whatever that God of the age may be.
And what I have told my friends who are of all colors, black, white, and brown, who may be getting seduced by this movement, and there's probably more white people involved in it than black people. It's kind of interesting, in the town that I live in, there are these demonstrations, not very big, but there have been demonstrations, they seem to have died down a bit, but before the election they were larger and more frequent, where people are holding signs on the street corner that say Black Lives Matter, and they're yelling at cars passing by. I have never yet seen a single black person among them, and the town that I live in is at least 50% black. It may even be a larger black population than that. But
stop and think of those at the restaurants where they come into the and they bust you, they come to your table and start saying, you know, you got to say it with this Black Lives. They're basically bullying people. They're attacking and harassing people. And it is, and let me tell you, to the social justice warrior church, is that how Jesus spread his message? By attacking people? By, you know, I mean, he came into the temple to clean out his father's house. But when he dealt with people, did he come out there callously and abusively, yelling and pushing and shoving and burning and looting to get his message out? If Jesus didn't burn down a building, if Jesus didn't throw rocks, if Jesus didn't use Molotov cocktails, then why are you condoning that. I mean, you are now a part of that if you condone it.
In fact,
this
movement is actually based on racism. They are racists, those that are the most vociferous adherents to this movement's philosophies. They despise whiteness. They say America is guilty of white idolatry. Well, they are guilty of black and brown idolatry. They vilify and slander all people who happen to be lacking in melanin content in their skin as being innately more sinful than they are in the realm of race. And this is just a reversal of the target of racism, but it's still racism. Sometimes I listen to these advocates for this satanic philosophy, and it's as if you're hearing them read right out of the handbook of the neo-Nazis or the Ku Klux Klan. It's just a different color that they are opposed to. Absolutely astonishing that people could think that this is an antidote to racism when it is racism. And that they're also thriving and are built on the foundations of some key sins. They are built upon the sin of bearing false witness, because they will identify people as racist who are not. They are built on the foundation of coveting thy neighbor's goods and thy neighbor's wealth. And they are built on the foundation of wanting to steal through unlawful taxation. So you have all of these things, and I'm assuming many that I'm not even remembering to mention right now, that is the makeup of this movement, and it's straight out of hell.
You know, I talk to clergy and people all the time, and recently, to give you an idea, God is moving, I believe, in a very unique way. While we still have these abilities to communicate, God has just put people into my pathway that I never would have thought possible just 2 years ago, or even 3 years ago, or anywhere along the way. And there's so many from different denominational backgrounds, but all faithful believers, every one of them. And they're hearing this message that the time is coming where we need to remember fully that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. It's time to separate ourselves and come out and not touch the unclean thing. And this is what some people, I have one guy that came out of a Methodist church background, and he ended up in a Anglican church body as a pastor, and he it's the social gospel stuff that's driving him crazy. And he is, you know, seeking to be a part of our church body and along with his congregation. I have others where God is saying, you know, I've got to prepare the church for the difficult times that lie ahead. We cannot be a part of the social justice warriors, because then we have walked away from the gospel. We have supplanted something in Jesus' gospel's place. His good news is no longer about his death, his resurrection, and our redemption. It's a message about how we think about it. What does social justice mean? We're going to redeem the world. That's what it means. We're going to try to, in our own image, redeem the world. We can't do that. That's not ours to redeem. Only Christ can redeem it.
And we have to go to our final break. It's going to be much shorter than the other breaks. So if anybody listening would like to join us with a question of your own, please send it in quickly before we run out of time. Our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And don't go away. We're going to be right back with Bishop Robert S. Bierman after these messages.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Brandon Scalf of Cruciform Bible Church in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chris Hatton of Grace Chapel in Sanford, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Jack Wilkie, minister of the Forney Church of Christ in Forney, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Mike Wachowski of Westminster Chapel in Ball Ground, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Cooley of Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Massachusetts, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brock Evans from Wading River Baptist Church in Wading River, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Lasser of Crestview Baptist Church in Big Spring, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Have you been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? We remain on the air because of our faithful sponsors and because of listeners like you. There are four ways you can help. First, do you know potential sponsors who may wish to advertise their goods or services on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio? Second, whenever possible, purchase the products or use the services that our sponsors advertise. And then let them know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Thirdly, you can also donate to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio by going to our website at ironsharpensironradio.com and click support at the top of the page. But most importantly, keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in your prayers. We hope that Iron Sharpens Iron Radio blesses you for many years to come.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit, Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back, and we have a question for Bishop Robert S. Bierman from Harrison in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Harrison asks, why do you cling so tightly to this whole concept of Anglicanism in a day and age when it seems that the vast majority of Anglicans and Episcopalians are apostates? I know that there are many wonderful and biblically faithful members of Anglican and Episcopal churches still in existence, but they seem to be far outshadowed by those that are totally foreign to the Bible and have abandoned it long ago. Why not just come up with different themes and names rather than clinging to the whole concept of Anglicanism, where most people who are not within your communion may have the first bad impression that you are false preachers?
Well, I can actually answer that, because the same can be said for almost any denomination today. Unfortunately, I can say it about some of the Baptists that I've met, some of the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, even some of the Charismatics. Unfortunately, you know, it's going to be tainted by man. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Even some that call themselves something Christian church are often far from it, you know, or even, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, so, yeah, why do we hold on to it? The traditions which are based in the formulation of the creeds, yes, but I get it. But I think most people that are not Christian don't even understand any of it to begin with. But to me, yeah, I get it, and I've thought about it, and I've debated it. I understand where you're coming from. But unfortunately, the same can be said about almost any group that's out there today, especially those that have jumped on the social justice bandwagon, like a friend of mine who's leaving his church body for ours for that very reason. And, oh, by the way, I wanted to mention one thing, because I know time is of the essence here. When you were talking about the NASB Bible during the break before, when I was doing my studies at Tacoma Falls College years ago, that's one of the favorite Bibles they use there, and I was given one as a gift by Dr. Paul Alford, the college president, one of my favorites. My wife asked a year ago, what would be a good Bible for me? She needed a new one, so I got her an NASB, and she loves it. It's God's Word in an easy-to-understand language, so I'm another one that loves it.
Oh, praise God. Glad to hear that. Well, let's conclude the program with the second theme. What do you mean by rethinking our mission in an age of fear?
Well, you know, the problem is we have a lot of churches that have fallen into fear. They're afraid that their churches are going to, you know, kill everybody. I mean, that's what they've been told. I mean, the bars apparently don't. You can get more people into a bar. You can go to a strip club in California, but don't even think about going to church. That's a dangerous place. Don't think about worship. Don't think about Thanksgiving. Don't think about Christmas. Those things are dangerous. There's an agenda attached, unfortunately, to this virus. And you and I could spend a whole program, because I came out of retirement to work in emergency management for a county for almost 3 months. And there's a lot I could share that I'm just angry about. The way the numbers are reported and everything that goes with it, another program for another day. But we have to realize that the true church is going to be a condemned church by the world. We're going to be hated. We're coming into a time, I believe, whether it's happening really fast or just relatively fast, we're coming to a time when you have seen what has happened to churches all over the country. You must shut down. And a lot of churches, a lot of these people will never come back. They're going to be afraid for whatever reason, or they got comfortable not coming to church. And hopefully some of the, shall I say, fallen churches will just close their doors for good. But we're going to have to realize that nobody wants us on Main Street anymore. Nobody wants us on Facebook anymore. Nobody wants us to comment on Twitter anymore. We're going to be increasingly made second-class citizens in this world. And, you know, it's not our job for political change. Jesus never asked us to call for political change, even by peaceful means. He came at a time of the most corrupt world that we've ever known in history, the Roman Empire. He didn't preach that. He preached changing individual lives. And the church, the early church, they were not allowed to have their big buildings and their light shows and everything else. They had to meet underground or in people's homes. And we may be gradually returning back to that the new norm may not be the tradition we've had all these years of having a church building and the stained glass windows. There are going to be less of those, I think, in the future as we become more second-class citizens. If you ever read go to the World Economic Forum's website. It's a scary website. This is part of the UN, and it's scary. They just come right out and say what they're trying to see happen because of this pandemic in the world. And it most Christians don't get it. That we're not really, the world does not love Christians. The social justice warriors do not love true Christians because we're preaching repentance. We're preaching turn away from your sin, and they're saying turn toward your sin and celebrate it. They're doing exactly the opposite. So we can't assume that we're going to be loved much longer, especially in a lot of the bigger cities where the hatred from government is now coming down upon the heads of those that believe. And look at what Facebook and Twitter does and all the tech tyrants. You try to give a real gospel message, you're liable to be called hate speech, and, you know, you're deleted or you're at least put in Facebook jail for a month. I've been there before, and it's a badge of honor for me.
Yeah, Facebook, almost every time I publicize a program for Iron Sharpen Zion Radio, they block me after a while when they think I've done it too much. And it can get quite frustrating because the only thing I really, well, I should say the primary thing I use it for is to publicize this show. But I want to thank you so much, Bishop Bierman, for being our guest today. I look forward to your return to this program. I look forward to working with you on all kinds of radio projects in the future.
I got a bunch going. you know, I may be in ministry, but there's that radio part is still 50 years of it. It's hard to divorce oneself from that part of your life and separate yourself from being a radio guy.
Oh, yeah, I can tell it's in your blood. It's very evident. But I want to thank you again. I want to make sure our listeners have your websites once again.
Let me tell you how to get a hold of me. That'll be real easy. The two websites, you can go to Ancient Word Radio. That's one word, Ancient Word Radio, and that's .com. And you can contact me from there. And if you want to contact me about the church, these emails come to me anyway directly. You can go to reformedanglican.church, or if it's easier and you want to do less letters, racus.org. Under leadership, you'll find my picture and my direct email address, so you won't have to write down a long email. Just go there, click it, and you can send me an email. I would love to hear from you.
Well, I want to wish everybody a wonderful, peaceful, joyful, healthy weekend and Christ-honoring Lord's Day. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.